Good morning. Welcome to staff meeting. EMP. Welcome to EMP. Actually, we should take that out of the recording. Welcome to EMP. Let's turn our Bibles today to Luke chapter 17. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 17, and let's read from verses 11. And then we're going to read right through to verse 19. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. Wow, it's a bright light. Luke 17, verse 11 to 19, and it says, "While he, Jesus, was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourself to the priests.' And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to them, 'Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well.'" Let's pray this morning. God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for the truth that you are a God who can heal us, God. That you are a healer. And that you are here with us today, God. And so I pray that that as we go into your word, Father, that you would really speak truth to us. Not just words on a page and not just knowledge that puffs up, but God, that it would be seeds that would be sown into our heart that would bear fruit, God. And so I pray that you would use me this morning to speak your word, God. And that our hearts and our minds would be open to your spirit as it speaks to us even now. So come, Holy Spirit. We thank you and all this we pray in Jesus' name. So last night, for those of you who weren't here, most of us who were here, we had a healing conference, and it was an amazing healing conference by Pastor Cheon, you know, and people were healed, back pains were gone. One brother, in fact, his right ear was deaf, and he began to hear from it, and we saw these amazing signs and wonders, and I'm just lying, testimony after testimony of people just being healed, seeing the glory of God and the power of God as a healer. But if I'm really honest with you guys today, I think with healing, it's a sort of mixed bag for me. In terms of when I see healing, there's a part of me that says, amazing. This is amazing. How can something like this happen? How can somebody who could not hear out of their right ear, suddenly because of a man's prayer or a woman's prayer, suddenly their ear starts to hear again? How can somebody who could not walk suddenly have their legs prayed for and they start walking? How can somebody who experienced pain in their hands and arthritis and carpal tunnel syndrome, how can they suddenly in one moment feel no more pain and feel fine again? It's just amazing to me. And then the second part, the doubting Thomas part of my mind, it comes up and says, how can somebody who had pain suddenly be healed? How is that possible? And I struggle. I mean, to be perfectly honest with you guys, I struggle with it. I struggle with believing, right? The faith, you know. I remember in the past, whenever I went to healing conferences, I would come in and out, knowing even my own self, I would say, God, I believe, but help me in my unbelief, right? And we come, and oftentimes we see the signs and wonders, and you know, our response should be glory, but oftentimes, and I wonder for many of us, what is our response after having gone to a healing conference? Is our response is a closer relationship with God and belief in God, or sometimes we come away with mixed feelings about it? And today we're looking at this story about Jesus, and his healing of these lepers. And we see that he's traveling through, he's on his way to Jerusalem. So once again, he's on his way to Jerusalem, which is a place where he's going to be crucified. So he's along this road, and along this road he stops by a village. And at a village, there are 10 leprous men who stood at a distance. So they can't actually come close to Jesus. They can't actually even come into the village. As some of you may know, leprosy, once you are diagnosed, I don't know if the right word is diagnosed, or once you have been called a leper, you are actually ostracized from society. You have to actually leave the place where you're living. You have to leave everybody. You can't have contact with anybody else except other lepers. And so you have to leave, and in fact, you have to declare again and again, unclean, unclean. You can't even really have a normal conversation with people. You have to be at a distance. And we see here these lepers, as Jesus is entering into this village, at a distance, they see Jesus, and they say, instead of saying unclean, unclean, they say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so they're desperate. They're asking for help, and they see this Jesus. I don't even know how at this time people recognize other people, because there was no Facebook. I don't know. How do people recognize Jesus by his face? It says, you know, Jesus is quite an ordinary guy. But apparently they saw him and they recognized him as Jesus, maybe by his entourage. And they started crying out to him, Jesus, have mercy on us. And when Jesus saw them, he said, go and show yourselves to the priest. And it says, as they were going, they were cleansed. And you know, when you read this, it takes a step of faith. I think it took a step of faith for these lepers. They've been suffering. They've been ostracized by society. They've been sick. And yet, at one word from Jesus, and perhaps this talks about how desperate they were, right? That Jesus, he immediately says, go and show yourself to the priest. And they're not immediately healed, right? The healing doesn't happen immediately. They don't see it happen immediately. But instead, it takes for them an action. They have to actually turn around, and they have to start going to the priest. And it says that as they were going, they were cleansed. Actually, on a side note, here it says, Jesus calls them to go and show yourselves to the priest. Actually, if we look at other examples of similar stories where lepers have been healed within the Bible, both in Matthew as well as Matthew chapter 8 and Mark chapter 5, I believe. Actually, there's another phrase that Jesus adds at the end of it in these other passages, and he says, go and show yourselves to the priest and make a sacrifice according to the laws of Moses. And this is just a side note, but if you guys have time, there is a passage in Leviticus 14 where God is telling Moses the law of how what kind of sacrifice should be made for somebody who is cleansed by from leprosy or from skin disease. And in the Leviticus chapter 4 passage, what it says is, when you are cleansed, or when the priest has declared you clean, or before he has declared you clean, you must make a sacrifice, and you must take two live birds. You must kill one, drain the blood into a wooden basin, earthen basin, and then you must take the other live bird, hyssop, cedar wood, and a scarlet string, dip it, flick it at the person. So you have to flick them with blood, and then you release the live bird and you let it go, right? Pretty crazy, right? Quite random when you read it like that. But if you really look at the symbolism, isn't it quite amazing what's happening, actually? You don't know yet, because I haven't explained it to you why it's amazing. But what is happening really is two live birds, and one of them is being sacrificed. One of them is being killed, and the blood has been being drained. And as a sign of cleansing that the priest needs to make, he takes all the other objects, the other live bird, the hyssop, bless you, the cedar wood, the scarlet string, and he sprinkles them on the previously unclean person. And so we see that the blood sprinkled on the unclean person is a representation of the cleansing that is happening. So the blood is cleansing them, and as a result, this other live bird is being set free. And if you really think about it, isn't that an exact representation of what Jesus has done? You know, Jesus died for our sins, and his blood now sprinkled on us. Symbolically, we become the other live bird who is able to be free. And in many ways, this is what Jesus is doing here. You know, there's a symbolism of He's saying, go and show yourself to the priest. And I love the Old Testament. I love how there's always, that the Old Testament is always pointing towards the cross. And we see that even the ceremony of going to the priest is representative of Jesus' sacrifice. But I think for the men here, the 10 lepers here, I think it meant even more, right? Because what did it mean for them? In many ways, you know, if you look at what disease meant in the Old Testament in these old villages, we see actually it was much more than just disease. Today we say, if somebody has cancer, we say, oh, that's so bad, I'm so sorry for you. Or somebody suffers from some disease, we say, I'm so sorry for you, that must be very difficult. And we ask and we say, I don't know why that happened, but it just happened and that person has cancer. But in the Old Testament, and in this time, oftentimes sin and disease was linked with sin. Disease was often linked with sin. And so for you to be a leper, you to be blind, you to have been born crippled, it was not because just some random fact of genetics. It was because there's some sin in your life, whether it's through you or through your family. There's some sin, and because of that, you are suffering from this disease. And so not only are these guys sick, these 10 lepers, not only are they sick, but they were also ostracized by society. In fact, society is saying, it's your fault. It's your fault that you're sick. There's some sin in your life, and because of that, you are suffering right now. And so they're rejected by society. And Jesus is saying, he doesn't say immediately, I heal you in the name of my, or in my name. Jesus doesn't say that, right? Jesus says, I heal you in my name. He says, go and show yourself to the priest. Because I think part of this is, what's happening is not only is Jesus recognizing they need healing, but he's also recognizing they need validation that they're healed, right? The reason that you go to a priest is for him to declare that you are clean. It's a validation before society. Other than to just say, I'm clean, it's the same way today we say, you know, we have a healer and they say, you are healed in Jesus' name. And the person, they say, oh, I should go to the doctor and check, right? And once you go to the doctor and check, that's when, for many of us in our minds, that healing's legit, right? And so what Jesus is doing is there's a recognition of not only that these people need healing, but also they need acceptance again, right? There's a rejection that happened and acceptance that they need. In fact, they're so excited about this that we see that almost all of them, they just go. They just go to the priest, right? Even after they see, oh my gosh, I've been healed. You know, and I think it's pretty obvious with something like a skin disease. I mean, if it's internal, we don't know. But with something like leprosy, it's very obvious because it's on our skin. And they see that they're healed, right? They see that they're healed. At this point, someone else, you always want someone else to check, but there's 10 of them, and they're looking at each other, and they're like, hey, your face is normal, your arms are normal, your hands are normal. And we see this healing that's happened, and the evidence of that is very clear to them. And yet, only one of these 10 men turn around. Right? And only one of these men turn around after he has been healed, and he glorifies God with a loud voice, and he said, and it says, he fell at Jesus' feet. He fell at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. And in verse 16, I love it, it says, and he was a Samaritan, period. But I really think it should have been, he was a Samaritan, exclamation mark, right? Because if you know something about the history at this time, the chosen people were the Jewish people. They thought they were the sons of God. And the Samaritan, he is this foreigner. He doesn't even share the same religion. Right? He doesn't even share the same religion as these other 9. And yet he's the only one who comes back. All the others have left. And it says, and yet this one Samaritan comes back and he gives thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Where are the other 10? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And I think as we read this story, I think there's a reminder that God is giving us today. You know, a reminder that God is giving us today about our response to His glory in our life. You know, our response. You know, actually, if you look at Luke chapter 16, just the chapter before, it says there, Jesus talks about a parable about Lazarus and a rich man. And a rich man, after he dies, he begs Moses, and he sees a vision of Moses and Abraham in the distance, and he says, "Moses, Abraham, let me go back to my family and tell them so that they may be saved." But Abraham says to him, he says, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead." If they do not listen, and he's saying that if they have not already listened to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead. And you know, I look at that, and I look at healing, and I look at the things that have happened even yesterday and in our lives, the signs and wonders that God has shown us, these miracles that have happened in our life, people being healed or situations that seemed impossible where God comes and He does a miraculous thing and they're changed. And yet oftentimes we see these situations in our own lives and people's lives around us. And instead of being filled with glory of God, instead of worshiping God, we are skeptical. And even though we may read in the Bible that God is a healer, or that God is a provider, we read these things, and yet we're still skeptical. Even when God provides in somebody else's life, somebody close to us, He provides. And yet when it comes to my life, will God really provide? And I think for many of us, maybe it's not healing. For many of us, and praise God, healing may be the easiest thing for us, but something like financial provision might be something that we struggle with today. Or having faith to go to our workplaces and to say to coworkers who do not believe that yes, Christ has died for your sins, and believing that God will take care of the rest instead of worrying about our jobs or what that person will think of us. And I think we look at these 10 lepers who were healed, and only one comes back and thanks God. But you know, I think it's another way of looking at it is, not only does one come back and thank God, but you know, this entire time, these 10 lepers, they were at a distance. They were at a distance, and they called out to Jesus, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And they asked for mercy at a distance. But only one at the end of this ends up at Jesus' feet. And you know, I was having a conversation recently with a sister. And she was just coming out of a place of frustration. And she was saying, you know, so many times I've sought after God's face, but I feel like I've only gotten His hand. You know, I keep on seeking after God. I keep on seeking after God. I want a relationship with Him, but I feel like I've only seen these signs and wonders around me. And having after seen them, I don't feel any closer to God at all. You know, I've seen answered prayers. I've seen lives change, and yet for me, I don't feel like I've seen God's face. Right? And there's no real easy answer to. You know, and the question was, how do I see God's face? You know, there's no easy answer to that question. There's not one set answer, at least, that we can give. But I think that this passage is showing us part of what it means to seek God's face. Because what's happening here is, at a distance, they ask for help, and Jesus, He gives them their hand. He says, "Go," and He cleanses them. They're cleansed, and they see the evidence of that power in their life. And yet only one of these 10, his response is to come before Jesus and to seek his face and to give him thanks and praise. And so we ask ourselves how to, sometimes, and that's true for us too, I think. We see the evidence of God's goodness all around us, but we don't actually, but for us personally, we don't feel like we're seeing God. We're not seeing his face. We don't have that relationship. And I think if I were to have read this passage and really been able to talk to that sister, I would have said, you have to go back to Jesus' feet and give him glory. You've seen his hand, and now go back to Jesus and give him glory for the things that you've seen. You know, for us, we saw amazing healings. We saw amazing things that were happening here. And so often it becomes easy to focus on the healing or the healer, the person who prayed for that person. You know, we focus on these things like, oh, Pastor Chaeyoung, so amazing. He healed that person. He's a healer. I need healing. I need to find him. I need to hear more of his messages. Oh, that person got healed. That's amazing. They can walk again. Hey, let me see you walking some. We focus on all these things. And if at the end of that, if we don't come back to Christ and say thank you, if we don't go back to Christ and start worshiping him, if we don't turn around, in many ways, we're completely missing the point. And I think for us today, you know, I think all that happens in our life, all that we're experiencing, all that God is showing us, all that we've already received that is good, if the response of all these things is, it needs to be, there can only be one response, which is to give glory to God. You know, it says, let your good work shine before men, that they may give your Father glory. You know, even as I was thinking about it, you know, I was thinking about the first few times that I, even for us here at EMP, you know, the first few times I even started coming to EMP, oftentimes there was a moment of, it was actually kind of a self-pleasure. It was like, I came to EMP and I felt good about myself. I woke up early in the morning. I feel so productive throughout the rest of the day. I feel like I have this time of quiet before work. In fact, you know, if I just talk out of my sinfulness, I would see other people who don't go to EMP, and I would say, see, you're not getting the benefit that I got because I went to EMP, right? And a lot of it is self, it's self-absorbed, right? It's thinking of myself, thinking of what am I receiving right now? How is this benefit? How is this good for me? And yet, I think when God looks at us, you know, all these things, even the fact that we have EMP, even the fact that we have our church today, even the fact that we see these healings, or even the fact that we see all these good things in our life, all of these things are God calling us to him. You know, it's funny that Jesus said, go to the priest, but really Jesus was saying, come to me. You know, that was the correct response that Christ wanted from these 10 lepers that he healed. He's saying, come to me instead of going. You know, in the same way for us, he's saying today for each and every one of you, go into your workplaces, go into your circle of friends, go into the world and do these things that I have for you to do. But what really he's saying at the end of the day is, come to me and worship at my feet. And as a church, I think we know that we need to, in our minds we know, and I think we need to start practicing that, which is to move away from our self-centered or our personal desires or our personal experiences, and we need to start turning it over to a God-centered way of thinking about all of these things, to start giving glory to God. And we need to start saying to God, God, we give you glory, we give you honor, we come here at your feet. And we need to go to Jesus' feet again and again. And that needs to be our response again and again. So why don't we do that this morning? As Janella leads us in a song of worship. And you know, it may mean different things for each and every one of us. Because God is working in so many different ways in each and every one of our lives. But maybe today we can ask ourselves that question. And as we sing these songs of worship, maybe we can ask ourselves this question, which is, God, you've done so many amazing things in my life. God, that you have been so real for us in so many ways. And God, I'm here as a result of your goodness and glory in my life. But God, have I turned back to you, or have I forgotten? Have I been seeking after validation from society to tell me that I'm good, that I'm clean? Or am I trusting in you that you've done the work of healing, the work of cleansing in me, that you've done the good work in me? And now I just want to worship at your feet. And let's just let, as we sing this song, let's let our response be worship to God and really give him the praise.
Prayer for this life, hear my
Yes, God, that is our prayer this morning. That above all else and all the showers of goodness that you've given us, God, that our greatest desire will be to know you. And can we just spend some time? I just feel like we spend some time. Let's just go deeper in this. Let's just really go deeper and really seeking after Christ's face today. Let's just spend some time really coming to the feet of Christ in thanksgiving, in intimacy. Let's just continue to worship Him. Let's continue to intercede. Let's continue to pray for those in our community who are suffering from cancer, and for those who are going through chemo and radiation therapy, as well as those who are recovering from surgery. Let's continue to pray. Let's continue to declare healing in their lives and really just continue to intercede and press in to see the glory of God's healing in their lives. Let's continue to pray for our brothers and sisters right now. Let's continue to pray for those in our community who are suffering from illnesses, but also really need that word of salvation. Let's pray that God would not only come with His healing hand to heal them physically, but also the wounds of their heart, the broken spirit, the broken relationship, that He would come and repair it again. Let's also continue to pray for those in our community who are suffering from other infirmities. Let's also continue to press in for their healing. Let's also pray for those in our community who are looking for work, and that God would provide for them. And in the spirit of waiting, that they would have peace. Let's pray for trust in God. And as God prepares, that they would trust that the Father will prepare exactly the right job in the right place for them. Let's turn today's mission focus, and let's continue to pray for North Korea, for our missionary Chris there, and as well as the community, his community. Let's also continue to pray for South Korea and a possible future church plant, as well as Japan. And let's pray for Pastor Mitsunobu and Pastor Sophia as she begins her period of training and to go to as a missionary to Japan. Let's continue to pray not only for these workers that are in these countries, but let's also cover over these countries and pray for God's grace and His Spirit to really be poured out upon these nations. Let's continue to pray for our ministries here at church. Let's pray for our intercessory prayer team. Let's pray for the well as well as for Cascade. And let's continue to pray for the brothers and sisters who are in these ministries, that as they continue to press in prayer and continue to pray for the church and pray for healing, that God would fill them, that they would overflow. Let's also pray for the leaders. Let's pray for Matt, who's leading IP, for Pastor Ricky, who's leading the well, as well as Rachel, who's leading Cascade. And let's just really pray for wisdom and discernment as they go forward. Let's also pray for our men's and women's ministries. Let's just continue to pray for unity as they bring together the different genders within our church. And let's just really pray for these ministries to flourish. And as they continue to pray and press in, let's just really pray for God's anointing and blessing on the leaders as well as those who are attending, who are part of these ministries. Let's also pray for our outreach. And let's just continue to pray for our outreach ministries. Let's pray for SP Lights as well as our homie outreach. And let's just really pray for not only the ministers who are going out into the field, but also for those who are being ministered to. Let's pray for open hearts on both ends and for real relationships and real change that happen through these ministries. Lastly, if you can just pray, let's pray for those who last night who came to this healing conference. Let's just really pray for those who were healed, that they would continue to have faith to arise, that the enemy would not be able to come and steal away the work that God has already done in their bodies and in their hearts. Let's just really continue to pray protection over those who were healed last night. Let's also pray for those who did not receive healing. And I feel that for those who did not receive healing, that they would not feel discouraged, that they would not feel frustrated, but really that they would continue to give faith to God. Let's just really pray for those brothers and sisters yesterday, especially who came to the healing conference. So God, this morning, we thank you, God. We thank you that you are our healer. And even more than just the pains in our body, that you, by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you fixed, you repaired a broken bridge, and that we are now with you, and that we are now completely healed. And God, in response to that, may we continue to come to you and at your feet, that we would continue to seek after your face, that really, that above all other things, that would be the thing that we seek after. That we would not look to the gifts and the blessings that you give us, but we would look to you, the giver and the blesser. And that our response would be a greater intimacy with you today. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters here, God. I pray for a blessing upon them, that as they go into their workplaces, as they go into their lives, into relationships with others, God, that all they do, all the good works in their life, Father, would give you glory. So, Lord, continue to speak to us today. Continue to work in our hearts, God, and align us, that we would align ourselves with you. So we thank you, Lord. We love you so much. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Thanks, guys. And please continue to stay and pray and spend some quiet time with God this morning.